professionals and future professionals. Those of you who are here are either planning on being pastors, chaplains, teachers, maybe church administrators. And I called my sermon this morning, "Not on My Watch." Because you're all going to be in a situation where some people are going to be, it's here, but it's all definitely on. Use this? That'll be better. Okay. Which is higher? There we are, you see, is that better? All right, now you can hear me, now I can talk. Okay, so not on my watch. I want to tell you a story to start with. It was on the news quite recently, it took place in Turkey, and a soldier went asleep on watch. Ah, that's even better now. Maybe I need to tip my head over this way. The supervisor, of course, was understandably not happy. But he decided to do something rather unorthodox in response. First of all, he talked to the soldier and made clear that it was unacceptable. And then he asked him to give him his grenade. The soldier gave his grenade to his supervisor. The supervisor took out the pin and handed it back and said, "Stand there with that grenade." And the soldier said, "Please don't do that." And he was told, "No, you just wait there and I will be back." And he disappeared off. Some other soldiers gathered around to see what had happened. And not that long after, very sadly, the grenade exploded. Four soldiers were killed. Four others were injured. The supervisor said, I just wanted to teach him a lesson. Well, actually, there were two not-on-my-watches-here questions. One was the soldier who fell asleep. The other was the supervisor. I wonder what the values were that he had about not-on-my-watch. Well, think about that. Of course, the issue of people and soldiers falling asleep on watch is one that's taken seriously internationally. I want to read from you the military punitive articles, Article 113, and it should be coming up on the screen for you now. Here it is. Any sentinel or lookout who is found drunk or sleeping upon his post or leaves it before he is regularly relieved shall be punished if the offense is committed in time of war by death, or such other punishment as a court-martial may direct. But if the offense is committed at any other time, by such punishment other than death, as a court-martial may direct. That's the U.S. military articles. Shows how seriously it's taken. And if you just Google and you just look around, you'll find that in many countries in the past, World War I is an example, and many soldiers actually were shot because they'd fallen asleep on watch. Now, whether we agree or do not agree with the punishment, the fact is that the seriousness of the watchman, the person on watch, everyone else can go to sleep, go about their other business, because they feel safe, because the watchman is on watch. I'd like to share two passages of Scripture with you, both in the Old Testament. The first one comes from Psalm 121. I think it's a beautiful psalm. It doesn't actually use the word watchman, but it uses the word watch a lot of times. And as I read this, just think about what this is saying about the God that we serve. "I lift my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. Do you get the sense of security in that passage? The Lord is on watch. He is never going to sleep while he is on watch. That gives us a sense of safety, security, comfort. Let's compare this with another passage. This passage is found in Isaiah chapter 56. Listen to what is written here. Come, all ye beasts of the field, come and devour all ye beasts of the forest. Israel's watchmen are blind. They all lack knowledge. They are all mute dogs. They cannot bark. They lie around and dream. They love to sleep. Just stop there for a moment. Interesting image. The watchmen of Israel. Who are they? The leaders? Leaders of Israel? And just think about it in the history of Israel, how many times the leaders just ignored things and Israel just went off on its own way and lost connection with the Lord. I think that's what it's talking about here. I love the image of the dog not barking. Right? I mean, that's what many people have in their houses today. They don't have someone standing at the gate. They have a dog in the house to bark if anything is disturbed. But they are like dogs without a bark, mute. Let's read the next two verses. They are dogs with mighty appetites. They never have enough. I mean, they have plenty to eat, pleasure. They are shepherds who lack understanding. They all turn to their own way. They seek their own gain. That's huge, that section there. The shepherds are looking after the sheep. The watchmen, not looking after the people they're on watch for, because they're concerned about their own gain. They're concerned about themselves. Come, each one cries, let me get wine, let us drink our fill of beer, and tomorrow will be like today or even far better. You remember what the article said? You couldn't be drunk or asleep on watch. Right? These guys are drunk and asleep. What a difference between the Old Testament picture of God as the watchman and this picture in Isaiah of the leaders, the people who should be out watch for the people who are not good watchmen or good shepherds. Huge comparison. And that same image we see many times in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. The words may not be the same, but Jesus is an exemplary example of a watchman, looking out for his disciples, looking out for those in need, looking out for the children, looking out for the disadvantaged, looking out for the Samaritans, those that the disciples want to dismiss, looking out for the people in the temple who are being abused by the leaders. That is Jesus, the shepherd, the watchman. And who are the people he has most negative things to say about? It's the leaders in Israel who do not do that. Whited sepulchres. Cast them out of the temple. Because they have lost the sense of what it means to be the watchman of the people, the shepherd of the people. They are too much after their own gain of looking good, being right, and they have lost something of what it means to be a leader in the church of God. There's a movie that came out recently.
It's very helpful, I think, because it raises some of the challenges and questions that sometimes hit a religious community. It's called Spotlight. Some of you may have read about it. Some of you may have seen it. But let me talk about it a little while. Spotlight was a newspaper team of the Boston Globe. A new editor came into town and, recognizing what Spotlight did, which was basically investigative journalism and then publishing what they found out, he asked them to do something very difficult. In a very Catholic city, he asked them to take on some of the news and scandal that had been there but seemed to keep being covered up. There was the abuse of children by priests. They didn't want to do it to start with. But when they got into it, they started uncovering a really horrible situation. They started thinking there was one priest, then six priests, and eventually, by the time they had finished their investigative reporting, they found there were more than 80 priests in the Boston diocese alone who had been engaged in sexual activity with children. They discovered not only had that happened, but these priests had been moved from one place to another, as the church sought to cover up what was happening. The Archbishop of Boston at the time was a man called Cardinal Law, very famous name within the Catholic Church. He had done many good things. He'd been a leader in the civil rights movement. But on this issue, he had chosen to remain silent and protect the church at the cost of protecting some of the innocents within the church. It struck me as I heard this story that there were many victims here. Clearly the children were victims. But it was more than just the children. There's one poignant part of this story where one of the investigative journalists, her aunt is a Catholic, and she took her to church 2 or 3 times a week. As this story began to unfold, the investigative reporter became so disillusioned she felt she could not walk inside the church. When the report came out, before it hit the streets, she took the paper to her aunt and put it in front of her. And her aunt, just tears started rolling down her face. And then she just says, "I need a drink of water." But the victims were not just the initial victims. They became the parishioners, all of those who put faith in the church. After all this came out, there was a lot of things that happened, and the Catholic Church reacted. And I want to put up some of the statements that came out of the church and some of the media responses from the church. The new archdiocese in Boston, the archdeacon, writes this: that the article prompted the church to deal with what was shameful and hidden. The media, coming straight from the Vatican, said it helped the Catholic Church to accept fully the sin, to admit it publicly, and to pay all the consequences. And the Catholic media said of the Globe reporters, and I really like this statement, they made themselves examples of their most pure vocation, that of finding the facts, verifying sources, and making themselves, for the good of the community and of a city, paladins for the need for justice. Good on the Catholic Church for, at the end of the day, saying, "We were horribly wrong here." Now, this isn't a statement about the Catholic Church, but it does show the challenge often of a religious community, upholding the reputation of the church, of members within the church, people perhaps who donate money to the church. Isn't it better just to shut our eyes to something and move on? I think Jesus would say, not on my watch. So I'm going to ask you a question today, and I'm thankful you've actually got some pieces of paper in front of you, so maybe even as you think of things, you might jot it down. But if you had to decide the principles that you would write under, not under my watch, what would you put down? As a future leader, pastor, teacher, what are the principles going to be? Not on my watch. This will not happen on my watch. How do we decide what those principles are? I think, to start with, using the same term, spotlight, I think in order to get that sorted, where sometimes priorities do push us in different directions, the spotlight has to be on the Word of God. Has to be on the character of God that we see, say, in Psalm 121. On the character of God as we see also in the life of Christ, worked out in the life of Christ. I think that gives us some of those priorities, some of those non-negotiables, things that should not, cannot happen on our watch. I'm going to make a few suggestions that I feel are important. But I think this is the type of thing that every person who takes on the calling or the responsibility to work in any kind of leadership within the Church of God needs to decide for themselves. But these are some things that are important to me. First of all, not on my watch will the Word of God become subjugated to human argumentation. When we allow dispute and human arguments to take precedence over God's word, I think we are likely to run into all other kinds of problems. Secondly, I would say, not on my watch will unnecessary harm come to those I serve. You know, the other phrase, do no harm. I think that's something that all of us need to take seriously. Another thing that came out in that movie was, we're not just talking about physical or sexual abuse to young people, we're also talking about spiritual abuse. Because when you have a leadership position in the church, that feeling, but that is the pastor, so it must be right. That is what my teacher said, so it must be okay. We don't make people think that way, but they will. And we have a responsibility for doing no harm, no spiritual abuse, physical abuse, sexual abuse, that goes without saying. But spiritual abuse sometimes flies under the radar. We do no harm. Third one I would like to suggest, not under my watch, will I seek my own personal gain? And that's sometimes very subtle and very hard to even recognize when that is happening. I believe that's something we need to pray about every day. That what we do for the sake of our calling, for the sake of presenting the character of God to others, and for the sake of those I serve. Not under my watch will I seek personal gain. Maybe there should be a qualifier, because, yeah, you need some money to live on. I mean, you do need some things for yourself. This isn't about making yourself nothing, okay? But seeking personal gain is a way of thinking that puts yourself above the people that you are working with and for. That's when it becomes dangerous. I'm going to stop there. Three things are enough. I want you to find what they are for you. Not on my watch. This is not going to happen on my watch. I want to put up, finally, as I end, and I want you to read me with this with me. I'm going to put Psalm 121 up again. It's talking about the Lord that we serve, the Lord that we can fully trust. And as we read this together, I'd like to invite you to think about what it is to be a watchman like that. And when that's transferred over to us, what does that mean? It does not mean the passage of Isaiah. It does not mean some of the things we read elsewhere in the Bible about the leaders of Israel. Let's read it together. I lift my eyes to the mountain, whence my help doth come from. My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. Amen.